It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, another independence declaring kind of guy, Miss Shedlock. And we got plenty of reasons to be relatively concerned. Mike Shedlock is a registered investment advisor representative for Sitka Pacific Capital Management, which means he can say some things and not others. But I tell you what, he's gonna learnify us on what we need to know about what's going on right now with Goldman Sachs, and Merrill Lynch has been charged with the same crimes. Hi, I got you there, Mish.
You do. It's always a pleasure to be on the show. My God, we got a lot of things to talk about. You see that Obama is eyeing the VAT, value-added tax. The IMF is proposing a $300 billion tax on financial institutions, the way this thing is supposed to work. Now, of course, I don't...
Wait a minute. You mean that IMF, you mean it would be like a global thing? It goes to them?
No, it's well, obviously they can't pass this. They're proposing that countries do this, so they would want our Congress to pass a $300 billion tax on financial institutions based on the size of the economy. So everyone's tax would be different, but they're saying that $300 billion is appropriate here in the United States. And what's this money for? This money is to bail out the next fraud that comes. So I'm sitting here thinking, instead of a $300 billion tax on financial institutions, why don't we just enforce the fraud, and why don't we, and the way to do that is to put Fold in prison, and to put Paulson in prison, and to put Geithner in prison, and if you start throwing some people like that in prison, you know what? Financial institutions just, you know, might stop the fraud that they're engaged in.
No, they're going to need
a $300 billion tax.
No, they're going to put a 31-year-old kid, Fabrice Touré. You know, they're going to throw him in and say, yeah, when you come out, you'll still be in your 40s.
You know what? I almost feel sorry for this guy. He actually called the crisis right. There were a lot of people at Goldman Sachs that disagreed with him and wanted to stay in these bonds. And, you know, he said, no, these credit default swaps are going to implode. We need to get out of these things. The question is, you know, who was it that made the mistake in putting together the disclosure document for this thing? So, you know, was it his fault? But what we do know is that the highest levels of Goldman Sachs approved these deals. There's no way this guy did this, you know, on his own. It had these approvals. Really, we're just arguing here about, you know, what they put in the disclosure document. Clearly, it was wrong.
I have some questions. We took the last hour. I'm trying to get the audience up to speed and a lot of stuff on, you know, so that we could have some really good questions for you, because you saw this coming a long time ago. A lot of us did.
Yes.
I mean, this was neon flashing obvious. But now I'm having MSNBC coming out. Oh, let me explain to you what they did. Heavens to Murgatroyd. I can't believe. Well, what do I know? That means that they're carrying the water for the Obama administration. They got some regulation or new tax or something they want to do. And you're telling me here it is. You know, of course they're going to come out and they're going to hammer on Goldman Sachs. They're going to hit Maryland, these evil banks doing whatever so that we can, you know, have a regulation and a tax and everything so that we can fund the next time they do it.
Well,
you know?
There's no question here, Ernest, that there was fraud committed, and the New York Fed willfully ignored it and covered it up. They hid Lehman's bad debts. And that's just not my opinion, but this is Professor William Black. He is an expert in law, and he was also around testifying numerous occasions during the SNL bailouts. And you know what? During those SNL bailouts, they would take, you know, 50 regulators, send them into the SNL, pour over the books. In this case, you know, we're talking Lehman, and they send two people, and those two people are handpicked by Bernanke to overlook the problem. I mean, Black was really blatantly accusatory of Geithner. He said that Geithner had a clear mission to promote the health, safety, and soundness of the banking and stood by, exact quote, while Lehman deceived the public through a scheme that officials that he describes that he likens to three-card money.
No, it's worse than that.
The Federal Reserve Bank of New York knew that Lehman was engaged in fraud and overlooked it to lend money to Lehman.
Yeah, wow. No. They didn't just stand to the side. They were put there to stand to the side. That was their job.
Well, you know, now Geithner is at, oh, we need regulation now? Geithner's guilty here. This man belongs in prison along with Fold. We're never going to see Geithner there. Conceivable we see Fold there. I just doubt it. They've not even filed charges against this guy yet.
Yeah, no, this is all a show. This is a show. Here comes the really big shoe. Now, one thing that I had not ever seen before until they started doing this or talking about the Abacus financial instrument that they had done and blah, 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 and they go, it's not even a CDO. It's not a collateralized debt obligation. It's a synthetic collateralized, debt obligation. I'm going, it's synthetic. I'm going, man, these guys have no shame.
No, they're synthetic, and I don't know if you've heard about CDO squared, which is CDOs of CDOs.
Yeah, no. Once you can do a derivative on something, you can do a derivative on a derivative on a derivative. And and I remember talking a couple of years ago about when this really started, formulating in my head what was going on, because my brother-in-law works, he's one of the bond raters at Moody's. So you imagine the conversations he and I have. So I'm going, look, man, and that's one thing I want to get to. How is it? Let me just walk you through this. I have bad mortgages. They take out all the good stuff. They put them in the bad stuff. They got it. They create this mortgage semi almost a wish I was back security. They go out and they create a line on a spreadsheet. They just, high frequency trading. They just, it's just a game. It's a insurance policy. And they hate you saying insurance. It's not insurance, it's insurance.
Yeah.
The same thing. So I'm going, all right, so we have this going out there. But in order for these pension funds to be even allowed, it's legal for them to purchase this crap, they have to have, by law, some kind of a Uber rating. It's a AAA rated by guys like Moody's. They don't say anything about that in these videos and stories that I had on your site today. Nobody's talking about the only way they could have traded these or did this. In my, I need to ask you this question. Don't they need a rating from a rating service in order to even make the transaction to begin with?
Yes, they do. I've actually talked about this many times. I'm the only one. I wish I would have brought the subject up again, but I talk about this all the time. And here's the deal. This problem actually goes back about 20 years ago when the SEC is responsible for this, the Securities and Exchange Commission. The way the rating system used to work was that the rating agencies rated bonds, and they got paid, they got business based on how well they rated bonds. So those that rated bonds, those that had a good track record rating bonds, got the most business. The SEC came around. The SEC said, I don't like the way this model works. We're going to officially anoint rating agencies. So they anointed Moody's, Fitch, and the S&P, and a handful of others that have mostly gone by the wayside. So we're left with the big three here now. And the big three, the other thing the SEC did, they said that all debt had to be rated. So we've turned the model around from how well to someone being paid based on how well they rated debt, to someone being paid based on the volume of business they did. And guess what? The more AAA ratings you're willing to throw out there,
the more business you get.
The more business you get. Exactly. That's what happened. It all goes back 20 years, decades ago, to a stupid rule by the Senate. And now, you know, guess what? We're not even talking about undoing this. We're not talking about unanointing Moody's, Fitch, and the S&P. We're talking about putting more regulation and having regulators oversee what Moody's, Fitch, and the S&P are doing. The free market solution is simple. We need to go back and have people be rated, the rating agencies, on how well they rate debt.
Yep. Uh-huh. And we're going to talk about more here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Miss Shedlock in just a little bit.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
It ain't so groovy when you're screaming.
I tell you what we can do. We can understand it. And we get guys like Miss Shedlock coming on telling us what's up. Because if we don't understand it, you guess what's going to happen? It's going to happen again. And again. And in fact, Mish, it has happened over and over. How many times have we been through this?
Oh, my God. You know, and the bubbles keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You know what? I don't think they can bail this one out. I really don't.
That's global,
you know,
man.
This one's just too big. I mean, there's like, you know, the hundreds of trillions of dollars worth of derivatives out there floating around. You know, how long before that blows up? We all know it's going to blow up, and we just don't know when.
Well, we were hearing, God, I think it was like 5 years. The first time I heard of that derivatives even existed, it was Bill Bonner. You know, they were going on saying, you know, hey, we got this, you know, 30, 40, 50, $60 trillion derivative thing out here. What the heck's happening? We're going, what the heck's a derivative? You know, so you start going through this stuff and you start understanding, oh, we'd be pretty screwed. But, you know, answer me this. I give this statement a lot of times. You know, people, they're going, oh, their big thing last couple of years was the Amero. We're so worried about North American Union.
Yeah, that was all nonsense.
Yeah, Mexico, Canada, United States, and I go like this. I go, Amero? What, are you kidding me? They're going to go straight to the world, though. You know? So, are we really have that as an option or a threat?
Well,
or?
There is no Amero. There's
No. I mean, the
I
world,
don't think any of us knows, though, what happens when this thing really blows, what it's going to look like.
Tell me, is there the possibility of having a global currency? I mean, heck, the dollar used to be that.
Well, there certainly won't be an Amero. Let's put it that way. Might there be a global currency? I don't think so. Just because I don't see the U.S. giving control up, and I don't see other nations giving control up over their currencies. So I don't think so.
But
repudiation, where governments get together and, you know, cancel each other's debt, and they try and, you know, concoct some other scheme. Is it conceivable we go back on the gold standard? I mean, you know, there's all kinds of things that are possible, but I don't know. Certainly, that's the IMF's goal, though. That's their big wet dream, is they want this global currency. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe one can't rule it out completely, but I just don't see the U.S. giving up control. I don't see Canada giving up control. I don't see, you know, could there be a global currency? I don't know. What would it be backed by? So I don't know, Ernest.
Well, you know, I tell you right there when you say I don't see the United States giving up their currency, and I'm going, they gave up everything else. Why wouldn't they do that? And who says? And who says we're in charge of it anyway? I mean, you know, I mean, what kind of thinking even makes you even say that?
Well, I don't know. You know, it's time to. I mean, you know, let's focus on the here and now. I mean,
okay, let me give you a story.
Here now.
Let me give you a story right here. I want you to hear this. We had a gentleman. He's going into Mexico. He appeared visibly nervous, prompting agents to run his suitcase through a scanner, which detected several containers inside. The Mexican Public Safety Secretariat said one container held 50 gold coins and another had 100. So they seized them all, and they go, we don't know what crime we're going to charge him with, but gosh darn it, we got his 150 ounces of gold coins. And I'm going, wow. People are making this trip, man. They're going, hey, I was going down to Panama. I'm going to Costa Rica. I'm taking my goodie with me. You're so not allowed.
Well, the easy circumvention is, to that is to just open up an account at Gold Money. You know, put it there and then, you know, fly out of the country and claim it, where your gold's automatically held in a vault in London, Switzerland, or now, Gold Money's offering Hong Kong.
I have some friends that have gold in foreign banks, and they said just this last year, retroactively for the past, I think it was 3 years, they had to claim and declare all gold, precious metals, everything they've had over the past few years in banks, and if they don't do it, it's a $10,000 fine per day for not disclosing.
There's a lot of fines going out there. I'm not sure that I fully understand them, but even if you understand them, that doesn't mean that the IRS is going to rule differently from your understanding or even what they even said. That's the big fear here, actually. As I read the law, it's you have to disclose foreign bank accounts. And so you're describing bank accounts. Now, Gold Money is not a bank.
No. I made that very clear. Are we talking bank? No. It is how much in precious metal by weight you have to declare it.
I'm not seeing that, so I guess
I'll send it to you.
If you've got a link to that.
Absolutely. I'll make sure you get it.
Please send it to me. I've not seen that.
I get officers in anticipation of making sure you get it.
But my God, I mean, just look at this stuff. Have you seen what the unions are doing here? 15,000 people protested in Springfield, Illinois. Guess what the chant was?
Raise our taxes.
Raise our taxes. That's right. They want government to raise taxes so that these people can make more money. I mean, union thuggery at its finest. I've got a video in that blog that everyone really needs to see. It's probably the most disgusting thing you can actually see. And then people are holding up signs. One of them was taken off the internet. I'm trying to find a copy of it. It was a sign that said, save our teachers. A-R-E. Save A-R-E teachers. My God, you know, what's with that? These teachers can't even spell. And what are these teachers doing marching anyway when this is a school week? They should have been in class teaching.
Well, it may not have been teachers. Obviously, they couldn't spell. They're
all holding signs. They're also holding signs, save our schools. And I commented on my blog. They're not interested in saving the schools. That SOS, that's save our salaries. That's what the protest is all about. He doesn't give a damn about the kids. And my God, I mean, these... What they were chanting is actually scary. The SEIU was chanting, and there's this woman on a megaphone chanting, what do we want? We want more money. What do we want? We want more money. When do we want it? We want it now. So she would say, when do we want it? And they would say now. She would say, what do they want? And everything, the crowd would say, more money. Just mobs of people saying that they want more money.
Well, we've seen this happen in Europe, and it's just, you know, send them in the socialist, you know, black hole. So, you know, we know where this goes. And people, for your blog, I just want to make sure everybody knows, you go to freedomsphoenix.com, go to the top where we have this afternoon show, April 22nd. You go in there, and it has all the contact about what for, all the articles, everything on Ms. Shedlock. I just want to make sure everybody knows to go there. It's global economic analysis.blogspot.com. goldsmansachs.com, and then you got some more information on it and your thing on Goldman Sachs fraud roundup. So I'll make sure they knew they can go there to get that. But tell us, Mish, you know, I'm looking at the future here. That's the one thing I've been having a lot of guests on, you know, economics and a lot of different things. And I'm going, you know, there's an after. I mean, something's going to happen. I mean, you know, we're going to have a crash here. You're like, I agree with you, man. They're not going to be able to recover from a lot of this stuff. And when it goes, they're going to want to try and position themselves to make sure that, you know, they remain being, you know, the head boss in charge. And then what? I mean, do we have a is it a country? Is it law? Is it constitution? Is it finance? I mean, what do they have that has any credibility that give them any kind of a semblance of we're in charge or anything? Or do people just go anarchist? I mean, what's happening?
I don't know on that. I really don't know on that. I can just tell you what I'm trying to do about it. I'm trying to support candidates that I know are going to take a libertarian approach to things, and that's what we need to do. We need more governors like Chris Christie of New Jersey.
You're going to talk about this
in the next segment.
Aha, see, I got you. I got you for another segment. We'll be right back. He's going to tell us his cure. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
I want to break free. I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied, I don't need you. I've got to break free.
Yeah!
God knows!
Man, all I want to do is break free. Can I break free? A little bit of freedom. I want some freedom. How about a little bit of freedom? Thank you very much. Now, Miss Shedlock is on here. He's telling, how are we going to get free? How are we going to get free? Well, I know you had some suggestions. You know, I got right here some segments. We got, you know, Charles Goyette.
This is talk show host Charles Goyette, author of The Dollar Meltdown, and you are in for a real treat. Now, we get an opportunity to spend a few minutes with Edward Gonzalez. Edward Gonzalez is running for Congress.
Now we have Edward Gonzalez running for office, and then he had some other guys in too.
Doug Cloud
coming in, and then we had
Adam Kokesh.
Adam Kokesh. You know, we got all these people he's interviewing based on your recommendation, Mish. You said, you know, these guys, we're going to be pumping them up. We're going to be putting them in segments. We're going to put them on the site. We're going to make sure, based on your recommendation, Charles interviewed him, and he said, you know, good choices. Why are you doing this, and who are these people, and what's the criteria that you're using?
Oh, I want sound money candidates. I want people that are in favor of enforcing the Constitution. I want people that are willing to come out and say that our military spending is too high and that we need to, you know, just cut back. And I've got four candidates. John Dennis, who's running against Nancy Pelosi. That's obviously a really long shot there, but it's not impossible. We've seen what can happen in places like Massachusetts. B.J. Lawson is running in North Carolina's 4th District. Edward Gonzalez running in Congress. And Doug Cloud in the state of Washington. All of these guys are running. I think some of them have a chance here. And so whether you like these particular guys or not, these are four guys I like. But what everyone needs to do is find someone that they're willing to devote some time to, spend some energy on, and try and help out their campaign wherever they can. If you're in the printing business, one thing you can do is call up these candidates or other candidates that you like and offer to print some signs for them. Now, we all know that Ron Paul is going to be reelected, so I think we need to, you know, help these other candidates out here, you know, a little bit more. And certainly we can, you know, vote for or try and help Rand Paul, who's running for Senate in Kentucky as well. So, but the key here is to find some congressional candidates who have policies that you support, small government, sound money, stop wasting money trying to be the world's policeman. Those are the three biggest things in my mind. But, you know, your criteria might be different than mine, but surely there's a lot of people out there better than the clowns we've got in Congress, and that's what we need to do. Now, these guys, three of them are all running as
Republicans.
Edward Gonzalez is running as a libertarian, but California has a weird situation. There's no one running. He's not running against any Republicans. They dropped out. So if he gets enough write-in votes, and that's what I'm going to start a campaign on my blog, you know, no matter what party you're for here, even if you're a libertarian, do a crossover. Take that Republican ballot and write in Edward Gonzalez's name. He just needs, it's not even a huge number of write-in votes here, but if he gets the write-in vote, then he becomes the libertarian slash Republican candidate. And then anyone voting either libertarian or Republican in the fall election would get to vote for this guy. That's what we need to do. So that's my focus here on Edward Gonzalez. The whole situation, though, we have to do what we have to do. We have to support governors like Chris Christie. We have to make sure that we turn out and vote. That is key. In this fall election, and not to buy off on any of this crap.
I got to ask you a question here. Let me ask you this. You know me, man. I'm all about using the election process to make a statement. I'm infamous for that. Okay. I'm going to make me an argument. I'm going to have me an impact. I'm going to make absolutely freaking positively sure that the issues that I want discussed are in the mix. Guaranteed. But, I mean, how much faith are you putting in the election process itself?
The question is whether you have faith in it or not, what else are you going to do? This is our shot.
I'm for definitely making the argument like you're doing. I mean, you get, these are the guys. This is it. This is the example that we need. These are the people that represent what I want. But I mean,
It's going to take time, Ernest. It's not going to happen overnight. We're going to have to kick the bums out one by one by one by one. And it has to start somewhere. It has to start with people like you and I and our friend Charles Goyette, who taped these interviews. He did a fantastic job in these interviews, by the way. And I went out and I bought some time on Rackspace to host these things, to make sure that these things can stream fast so that it's not choppy, people can hear them. That's my donation here to the campaign for all these guys. I went out and I bought some server space and some server time so that we can host these things, have them stream real nicely, and we'll see. I'm hoping to have some of them up next week, and I don't want to do all four of them at once. That would be too much traffic. I want to focus on each of the candidates. I want them to explain in their own words who they are, what they stand for. We'll do profiles of them. We'll put them up on Freedom's Phoenix.
Absolutely. No, I appreciate every time you write because, man, you're always popular. Well, before we let you go, man, I want to give you a couple of minutes to, make some predictions on how we should structure our lives. Things. I mean, you got people listening that are just now starting to come around to the realization that, the emperor, he'd been naked for a while, okay? Mm-hmm. So they're seeing their pension funds go. And we have explain one thing to me. The stock market is going up where it's at, 11,000 plus, whatever, based on what?
Based on fumes. That's what I think. Could it be more than that? I don't know what else it would be. Certainly, Wall Street has been bailed out here. Absolutely no question about it. For how long? I don't know. But what we do know is that Main Street's not been bailed out. There are no jobs. There's still 14 million unemployed. That's the official number. We know the real number is way higher than that. The unemployment rate that they announce is 9.7. But if you add in all the people that are working part-time and want a full-time job, you add in the people that they call discouraged workers, and a discouraged worker is someone who wants a job, needs a job, but hasn't looked for the last month because he's convinced that no one's hiring. So they don't call this person unemployed. They call him a discouraged worker or a marginally attached worker. So these people aren't even counted. The real unemployment then is closer to 17, 18, 19 million. And then that does not even count all of the real estate agents that are self-employed, they've got a job, but they might not have made a house sale for the last year. Yeah. So these people are technically employed. They just don't have any income.
Commercial real estate. Tell me about commercial real estate.
Commercial real estate is poised to implode. I think we're going to see hundreds more bank failures later this year. I think they're masking over that problem. I think the Fed is helping mask over that problem just because they're not even equipped to deal with the volume of bank failures that we're going to see later this year.
Okay, now people that have, you know, tried to get a little bit more security, stability, and they say, you know, whatever, I don't have the sophistication or the education or the understanding to deal with this, give me an annuity. You know, they put it in. I thought a lot of these annuities are backed by commercial real estate.
It's hard to say what they're. That's probably going to vary annuity to annuity. I don't know if I would want to make a blanket statement like that, but certainly there is a concern there that the annuity is promising more than what's realistic. Beyond annuities, we've got a $3 trillion hole in public pension plans. And the plan assumptions on those things, unlike annuities, which are around 6% generally, these pension plan assumptions are 8.5%, some of them. Ernest, that's not going to happen. And taxpayers are on the hook for all of that. And if the stock market heads down again, we're on the hook for that, too. And some of these plans are so bad. Illinois, my state, is one of the worst in the whole nation in terms of this. We've got some pension plans here, public pension plans in Illinois. They're only 23% and 28% funded. Good grief. You know, what does the next downturn do to that? And what is Illinois doing about it? You know, you had people chanting for more frickin' money so these union members can get raises.
Hey, Mish.
I'm disgusted over this. Have people do a Google search for Mish, M-I-S-H. That'll take you out of my blog. And by all means, keep reading Freedom's Phoenix.
Hey, Mish, thanks for the time, man. If you stayed one more segment, I'd tell you what Gary Johnson said in studio.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock. Yeah, it was great to get that much time out of Mish. I know he's really, 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 really busy, especially now. And he has an interest, though. I mean, he wants to make sure that, you know, the word gets out, man. We, you know, that we will not survive this. We keep doing what we're doing. That is not going to happen. So he has a major concern. He wants to, you know, inject whatever he can into the political process to try and get the attention of the people. Do whatever we need to do, but what I tried to entice him with is Gary Johnson, the former governor of New Mexico. He was in studio last week, and he was telling me the story about, as governor, they have, if you started with the police department at 20 years of age, you retired with full benefits at 40, and you got 80% of the highest salary of the last 3 years or something like that. So they take your highest annual salary over the previous 3 years, and they go, all right, you get 80% of that for the rest of your life. Well, how long, what's the life expectancy? And then you have a lot of these. I mean, I've been here in Arizona since early 70s. When I was 12 years old and we moved here. I remember all kinds of stuff, you know, different scandals and stuff going. Certainly after I got married, I'd pay more attention. And one of the guys named, what was his name? I think it was Tony West. He was Secretary of State at one time. Then he became some other. He had, what happened is he retired from one government job and then was rehired a minute later. So there was never really a break other than a few seconds that, you know, they signed papers or something. So he got his retirement from one job and started getting the salary from the next one. You know, and then he goes, and some guys have even done that more than once. You know, from two different jobs or two different, you know, 20-year segments. They've been 40 years. They get, you know, they retire and they, you know, ka-ching. Well, you know, they're like, I didn't make the law. I'm just taking advantage of it. Well, this is just, you know, it's how they roll. So what do you say? What do you do? You know, you have people they run against, and they'll go, oh, looky, looky what he did. That was bad. That was bad. Nobody cares. And you're assuming they're counting it accurately anyway. That's one thing I'm going, Mish, man, come on. I mean, seriously, voting? You know, I mean, I think the election process is an excellent opportunity to be able to express yourself and people paying attention and doing whatever. I'll give you an example. Here in Arizona, the primary is at the end of – it used to be middle of September. I mean, it was like 6, 7, 8 weeks, you know, you had before the general election. I mean, it was a joke, but – they moved it back, you know, because we kept having fun with it. You know, I got so many Ernie laws, I can't even keep track of them anymore. But they moved it back to the end of August. And it used to be 15 days, 14 days, I think it was something like that, before the primary, you could file as a write-in, like what he's talking about for this one gentleman in Gonzales in California, filing, getting enough signatures to write-in. It puts him on the ballot as a Republican and Libertarian when only Democrats are in the race. So I'm like, okay, cool. We do that kind of stuff. So what we did is 14 days before the primary election, we would look at the ballot and see who was on the ballot. You know, what Republicans, Democrats, and what races. You got 30 districts, 2 House representatives, and 1 Senate, 90 legislators for 30 districts. So you look at it and you say, okay, well, in this one you got, you know, literally, it'd be 9 to 15 Republicans running for 2 House seats and no Democrats. You know, because you got to be Republican. Only Republicans going to win this gerrymandered district. So we'd wait and let them all duke it out, and then we'd run as a write-in. We have ballot status as a Libertarian Party, so all we need is as many write-ins as we need petition signatures. And because we're a small party, and it's the same percentage, even though, you know, we're a smaller membership, we only have to get from 3 to 15 write-in signatures, you know, for us to qualify, because that's how many you need on your petition to be on the ballot and the primary. So you can qualify as the biggest vote getter in the primary to have your name printed on the general. If you have no candidate that's on the ballot running in the primary, then you go, okay, I'll be a write-in. All right, and you get at least as many write-ins as you needed on your petition. Well, then you're on the general election ballot. Didn't have to do squat. And we do that all the time because we spent a lot of money and energy over the years getting ballot status so we could have these kinds of advantages. So we earned it, so I don't even want to hear it. You know, and they go, oh, we should make it more difficult, whatever. Yeah, well, then you make it difficult for them. It's a, you know, it's equal opportunity, kind of 14th Amendment Equal Protection Clause, kind of same percentage, everybody kind of thing. Yeah, you want to play this game? Yeah, we'll play. So what happened was we would have the primary in mid-September. 14 days before that, right beginning of September, we go, all right, here's all the races that we're putting write-in candidates in. Boom, all these guys that thought they were unopposed, now they're opposed. And they're like, curse you, Red Baron. You're going to make me spend money. So what'd they do? They moved the primary back. They extended it from 14 to 45 days. They keep changing it. Doesn't make any difference. We still, you know, all right, fine. We're still playing. So what happens is it'll be May 26 or so in this next month, they'll have the deadline for people turning in to be printed on the primary. After that's done, you can look at the 30 districts and you know, all right, there's no Republican in this. There's no Democrat in this. There's, you know, 1 of each when you get 2 House representative choices for each one. So there's only 1 Republican, 1 Democrat. We put some Libertarians. I mean, you know, you can play all kinds of games with this. So we go, all right, fine. You know, that's, you want to roll that way? That's how we do it. So we'll wait and we'll go and we'll fill the ballot. I mean, every opening there is somebody, we'll do a mailing. We'll make a big deal. Woohoo. We always do this. And even though they always seem to forget that we do that. I mean, they'll pass a law. They get all mad because of that election cycle. But then they just kind of forget because we're, you know, we're just over here hanging, you know, being activists and crazy and all. And then here it comes again. Boom. Now they got Libertarians all over the ballot going after them, calling them out and what scum they are and what they've been doing and what they did and how they voted on whatever and so on. But do I really think that the election process is accurate when it's all computers? Do I really think that they're going to allow Libertarians to get in to do it? Do I really think? I don't think that. What I do know is that while people are paying attention, we are able to point out all this stuff. How many minds can we free? That is the power. Freed minds. People that know the truth. We know the truth. We know the truth. And then what happens? I don't know, but it makes it a lot more difficult for them to do all this kind of stuff. And they're doing it again. Now the SEC is going to come in and they're going to say, you know, this is bad. We got something for your wrist. Ooh, man, you know, gotcha. That was bad. You shouldn't do that anymore. We need somebody to go to jail. Somebody's got to be a scapegoat. You know, Fabrice Touré, a 31-year-old kid that just got out of school, probably just got a little initials after his name, you know, in mid-late 20s, and they make him VP of water, put him. It's like a made-for-TV movie. You know, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's time to write a book and say, you know, really, I want to follow this guy around. You know, were you the evil VP kid, whiz kid, that brought down the global economy? Was it you? Was it you, Fabrice? Did you do it? Was it you? Really? Seriously? Was it you? I mean, it's almost insulting for them to come up with this. So I'm going, oh, man, you guys are killing me. So what do? Well, we get educated. You know, we need to survive it. You know, you think this isn't going to get all worked out? Yeah, sooner or later. You know, sooner or later is going to be China going, ho, yo, what's up? You know, we gave you on the condition of. You know, then what do? You know, we don't have any money. Nobody's going to loan us anymore or anything. So where do you think China's going to exercise their power? Africa. Africa is just sitting there with all kinds of natural resources. Oil, minerals, precious metals, potential agriculture, tech tourism. You know, it's we're coastline. You know, I mean, Africa's been held off for so why? I mean, I don't know, all these colonial powers have been exploiting them all to heck anyway. Private property rights, you know, what's that? You know, sooner or later, there's going to be somebody who's going to be, you know, speaking with non-forked tongue. And, you know, all of a sudden they'll explode with activity. And what if the Chinese, you know, treat them fairly? What if they have contracts that, you know, benefit both sides? What if, what if, what if? Well, we're going to find out because here it comes. As we have more and more, I don't know, I wouldn't even say ethnicities, but, you know, I don't even say countries either, you know, regions. As we have more regions, you know, are able to defend themselves. That's why they're all freaking out about Iran. You know, we had Karen Kwiatkowski on the show. What she's saying? She's going, of course, they always wanted Iran. Heck, they're not even Arabic. They're Persian. You know, they're a more secular country than most places there. They have, you know, an understanding of Western philosophy. They just don't like it. You know, and they're technologically advanced. You know, what do you think we're doing? You know, this isn't like going in the teens, the 19-teens at the World War One, and we're just going to install some sheik, you know, over here and say, guess what? We drew a line. You're in charge of this now. Here, sign the contract here. Now all your oil underneath the sand belongs to us. We'll build you an airport. I mean, that's how simple that is. You know, these lines, Iraq, Iran, United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, all that, you know, that was done with some map makers out of France and England. Absolutely. Why do you think we got the – we have right now, Tracy Harmon is Iraq Veterans Against the War. She is with another group in Iraq right now. Right now. She's in Iraq, in Kurdistan. Kurdistan, these Kurds, they have nothing to do with Iraq. They just drew a line. Heck, part of Kurds are in Turkey and in northern Iraq and part of, you know, all – it's and where do they belong? Who drew these lines? Who made this stuff up? This is going to get rectified some way. It always does. Based on what? Do you even have a base philosophy? What was it? Well, what was this country's base philosophy? What was it? I don't know. How about some freedom? Declare your independence. How do you recognize a bad government when it's not defending individual rights? Then it's your right, it's your duty to alter or abolish. Well, how do you do that? You know what? Let me tell you. I choose my method. You know what that is? Love. We're going to do it. Love. And you cannot have love if you do not have truth. Seek the truth and get free.